Good to be in church this morning on this holiday weekend, and it's going to be all right, Brother Terry. Amen. The Lord is here. He didn't go on vacation. So if you come with the right attitude, even though we got some substitutes up here, some of us spare tires, I guess, but we're expecting something from the Lord this morning. Amen. Appreciate everyone helping out while the different ones are gone. Amen. Let's sing that one more time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Before we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we have several song specials this morning, and we're just expecting a good time in the Lord. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, Amen. You can be seated while we read our prayer requests this morning. We have a praise report first we'd like to read to you. And we're going to have Brother Daniel Nunley come this morning and lead us in prayer. But first of all, we have Sister Bonnie Jordan, and she's from Montana. I'd like to thank God that she's doing much better, and I'd like to thank the saints for their prayer. Amen. So we're thankful for that. We have here also, we'd like to welcome a group that's from Jamaica. They've been here for a while. Where are they at? Would they maybe stand up? Could you stand up? The ones from Jamaica, we'd like to make them welcome here this morning. They're right over here. They don't want to stand up. They raise their hand, wave. Trinidad. Okay, well, that's why they wouldn't stand. In Trinidad. Okay, thank you. God bless the folks from Trinidad. We want to have please pray for Sister Joy Shantos. She's sick and unable to attend church this morning. Want to remember her in prayer, Sister Joy Shantos. Also, we want to pray for Sister Ruth Jacks and daughters for several needs in their lives. Want to please pray for a co-worker at Walmart, and her mother is sick and dying, and she lives in the Philippines. This is from Brother Jerry Glenn. Also, we have a prayer request from Brother Bean. It says, our granddaughter Destiny has had a rash that's causing her a lot of pain. Please pray that it will heal. This is for Vicki Renal. She has a eye infection, and this is from Brother John Meadows. He wants us to remember her in prayer. Please pray for Brother Ben Davis. He has a virus and is unable to be in church this morning. Amen. How many has a need on your heart that you'd like to make known with uplifted hand this morning? Certainly we all have needs in our lives. Brother Daniel Nunn, if you come at this time.
Amen. God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. Somebody, well, I was asked to say a few things about Memorial Day, and I got a page, but I won't do that. But I just like to say about Memorial Day, it's not to be confused with Veterans Day. Memorial Day is a day to honor the people, the men and women that made the supreme sacrifice and died fighting for the country. Veterans Day is to honor both the living and the dead veterans. But, you know, I like to say this. Our freedom has come with a great price. There's been many men and women that has fought for our freedom. Just to give you a definition or an example, just a few of them, but like the Civil War, we had 498,332 men and women that died fighting that war. World War One, we had 115,516 people that died during that war. World War Two, 405,399 people died in that war. The Vietnam War, 90,230 people died. Even in Operation Iraq Freedom, 4,472 men. And we can go on. This is just the big wars, but think about all the little ones that was fought in between. And, you know, when we think about that sacrifice, there was over 1,196,793 people that has died since the Civil War fighting for our nation. Oh, how we ought to be thankful for our freedom. You know, there's no place, even though we've got faults, many things taking place around us we disagree with, this is still the greatest nation in the world. And I appreciate it. Amen. Let's all stand, pray over our request this morning. Amen. Heavenly Father, first of all, we want to say we thank you. Thank you for letting us live in this day. Thank you, God, for the freedom that we have. Thank you for the sacrifices that's been made. Not only men and women giving their lives for our country, but many sacrifices that we'll never know about. Heavenly Father, we praise you for it. We praise you for these people in our congregation this morning. Wherever they may be from, God, I pray that you'll just bless them in a special way. God, we pray for our pastor, whoever he is. I pray that you'll bless him and know him. Be with him today. Bless him this service. Bless Brother Dale as he brings forth the word. And Heavenly Father, we pray now for our needs in our congregation. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll heal our sick, that you'll save our loved ones. Help us, oh God, that we'll work like we never have before. Knowing, God, that we are living in the last days, living in perilous times. Heavenly Father, we commit this service to you today. God, for those over the internet in foreign countries, God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you move for them in our fellowship hall, nurseries, knowing that there's no distance in prayer. God, we pray now that you'll have your way. Bless this service this morning, God. Bless every part of it. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just remain standing with us there, we'd like to welcome everyone to service this morning and any other guests, visitors we have this morning. We certainly want them to feel at home, feel welcome with us here. We're going to sing a congregational song together this morning. We have several song specials. Maybe if the brothers had come at this time, we'd receive our offering. And you want to take just a moment, reach around and shake hands with your neighbor there and welcome them to service this morning. We're going to be singing the old song, One of Them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Amen. Amen. Let's start with the chorus. One of them. One of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. One of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. There are people almost everywhere. It's the fire that fell at any cost. It is burning now within my heart.
will spark the joy of me. And keep the soul of flame. It is burning out of me. Oh, glory to your name. I'm so glad that I'm coming. One of me. I'm so glad that I'm coming.
Just kind of remain standing just for a moment. We're going to get those brothers, the different ones, Brother David Swanson and then Brother Brandon Green, and we'll call them the Happy Valley Homeboys. If they'll all come up and get ready to sing and play for us, and we'll sing one more verse of that while they're coming, and then you can have your seat. Amen. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and power to serve His name. Now what we have for you is the Lord. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of you.
Are you glad? I was asking the brothers in the back there if we had a name yet, so I guess we do. We're the Homeboys now. I sure do love these Homeboys up here. They're my brothers. We're going to try a song for y'all. We had Brother Caleb Adkins going to sing it. We were practicing it for some time, and the funny thing, we were practicing it, and then somebody requested us sing a song. And that was the song, so it kind of happened backwards. But we're going to try it here. We don't have Caleb with us, but maybe when he gets back, we'll try it again. This is called Thomas, I Am the Man. Well, I am the man, Thomas, I am the man. Look at the nail scars here in my hands. Well,
me up the hill. Thomas, I am the man. They made me carry the cross. Thomas, I am the man. Yes, I am the man. Thomas, I am the man. Look at the nail scars here in my hand. They crowned my head with thorns. Thomas, I am the man. They nailed me to a cross. Thomas, I am the man. Yes, I am the man. Thomas, I am the man. Look at the nail scars here in my hand. In the tomb, Thomas, I am the man. In 3 days I arose, Thomas, I am the man. Yes, I am the man, Thomas, I am the man. Look at the nail scars here in my hand. In short time I'll return, Thomas, I am the man. To take my precious bride, Thomas, I am the man. Yes, I am the man, Thomas, I am the man. Look at the nail scars here in my hand. Yes, I am the man, Thomas, I am the man. Look at the nail scars here in my hands. Yes, I am the man, Thomas, I am the man. Look at the nail scars here in my
Amen. We'll try the same song sing last Sunday. It's been requested to sing again. He'll help us on the chorus. Ocean
You can only come this far. And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies, this light within me cries, I know my Redeemer lives. That very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn and the and the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquered death to bring me victory. Now I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies, this life within me cries, I know my Redeemer. He lives to take away my shame. Oh, and He lives forever, I'll proclaim that the payment for my sin was the precious life He gave. But now He's alive, and there's an empty grave. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies, this life within me cries, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies, this life within me cries, I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies, this life within me cries, I know my Redeemer lives.
Hey, Brother David, don't go any place. Just sing that some more. Let's all stand together. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
Amen. I enjoyed our song specials this morning. We'll have them. Don't run off, Brother Brandon. Brother Brandon. Catch him. Amen. Amen. We appreciate Brother Dale Smith being with us here this weekend, and we're going to go ahead and worship together. You sing the chorus with them. We have them however you want to do it, Brother David. If you want to sing here, sing the whole thing, whatever. And bless you as we change the order.
I just can't stand singing over there. I have to sing right here. You just want to sing the chorus again, or do you want to sing it again? Sing the chorus? All right, let's just sing the chorus. I'm sure glad that Job got inspired. That's where this comes from.
the lightning flashed and the inspiration struck him. He had all the mechanics right. He was just waiting for those dynamics, and they struck him. That's us. Amen. We're working on the mechanics, and every now and then we get a little dynamics, but one day the big bolt of lightning, we're changed. Amen.
Okay, you want to do it? Hey.
Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies this life within me cries. My Redeemer lives. Yes, I know. Defies this life within me cries, I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies. This life within me cries, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know
my Redeemer.
Pray together. Heavenly Father, we're just so glad to be here to honor that resurrection, Lord. We can stand there like Thomas that day and say, He lives. My Lord, my God, my Redeemer lives. I'm sure that in that day, that man was so happy, so elated that you were standing there in the flesh. Lord, we're here this morning. Oh God, we can look around and we can see that Christ is come in the flesh. Lord, you're here among us this morning, and we just sense the presence of the Lord in a very special way today, God. And we're just happy to be numbered. Oh, one of them, Lord, this morning. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll heal the sick and the afflicted that are among us. Lord, let your Spirit rule and reign in every life and just move upon the lives of each and every one, Lord. We ask in a very special way today, Lord. Meet those that are abroad, Lord, and the Father that are watching, Father, on the internet and what more that'll see the archive, Lord Jesus. May there be something said the words will carry, O God, Lord, through the dimensional realms, O God, into those people, Lord, that are here and that are far off, O God. And Lord, we're just believing that you're more than able to meet every need according to your riches and glory this morning. Father, we pray for our dear pastor, Lord, as he ministers away this morning. May you bless them. Bless my home folks, Lord. Father, my dear pastor again, Lord, just coming back off the foreign fields. And Lord, we just pray, God, that each one will be blessed specially, sovereignly, and individually, Lord, we pray. Love you today. Bless the hearer and the speaker. We'll be careful to give you all the praise. And the church said,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles to the Psalms 133. Greet you all from Brother Jason and Brother Matthew, the, back in Beaufort, South Carolina. And we're just trusting the Lord will give them a blessing. They're running on a skeleton crew there themselves. All my family leaves. That's about half the church. And so, but, we appreciate the testimony of our sister Bonnie Jordan in Montana that they're doing well this morning. And we look forward to being there with them next week. And my wife's been gone for a couple of weeks. I'm a bachelor. I ain't been eating too good. I kind of thinned down a little. Be glad to have that glad reunion with the saints up that way. And from the 133rd Psalm, we want to read there three verses. Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. May the Lord bless the reading of the word this morning as you have your seats. Thank you. We want to continue our thought a little this morning, if we can, from last evening on the second part of that. We called it, What Hast Thou in the House? And our subtitle was The Oil of God. And we were showing how that oil of God is necessity for life, and that it is it's not just an option, it's not just an add-on, but it's mandatory, it's essential. Aren't you glad that the Holy Ghost is essential this morning for life? For Jesus said, without the Spirit of Christ you are none of His. Amen. And so we want that Spirit, and it's typed out through the entire Bible how that the oil represented the Holy Ghost. And we appreciate a prophet that came in our day to clarify that and to emphasize that and to drive the nail and clench it on the other side and not leave any doubt in our mind, because we're living in such a religious time where everybody's got the Holy Ghost. But they got a ghost, but they don't have a Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is like God. It's holy. It's consecrated. It's dedicated. I appreciate some of the people that came for prayer last night. They just said, we want to consecrate. And I thought, what a special request to make that as a Nazarite, as a vow to God, to consecrate our whole lives to God. And so we want that this morning. We saw how that just one little portion of oil, little as much when God is in it. And so when you just put that in the hand of God, just something small like that, and give it to God and consecrate it with your whole heart, and God will multiply it. God will take that and use it for His glory to meet your need, whatever that need might be this morning. And then so now we look a little bit further, and we see here in the Psalms that David now is declaring to the people. And as I did some of the research, they're talking about this and how that, you know, that this was prior to the, the nation of Israel hadn't split yet, but there was a bit of a division, that there was always a little, there was always you know, rumors in the air of how that there was certain, you know, 10 tribes wanted to pull aside, and then, you know, had these other two that wanted to be to themselves, and they, you know, they wanted a different king, and then David was in Hebron, and, you know, and Saul had just died, and oh, it was just a lot of turmoil. But then when they all came together, and then they ushered David into Jerusalem, and now all the brethren were together, and all the tribes were represented, and everything was there. It was a complete, you know, seven sealed body laying there, and David looked out upon it, and he rejoiced, and he wrote this psalm, and he said, oh, how pleasant, how good it is, for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I looked at this word good just for a little bit before we get too far, because I just want to really emphasize something here, that this word good in the Bible, and this word pleasant, working together, that it actually got its origins back in the times of Genesis. And as Moses was writing out the big Genesis scene, and as he began to bring out the creation time, and you remember there in Genesis and how it would read, and there was the fowls of the air and the creeping things upon the earth, and there was this and that, and he would come to the end of the first day, and he said, and the Lord saw that it was good. And then he would go take the second day and the third day, and you've heard that preached many times. But what I caught was that in every time he said it was good, and then when he got down to man, which we all know that he said it was very good. But the Lord saw that it was good. He saw that it was good. And so was is a, would they call that a past participle? Is that how you would say that, English students? Well, it's Tennessee. I guess I understand that. I believe it's called a past participle, or it's a reference to that it was in the past tense. And so here it was good. And so when we look through Moses' eyes, Moses was looking at what he had saw down in Egypt. Moses was looking at the slavery of his people. Moses was looking at the sins of Korah and Dathan. God, Moses was looking at the imitators of Jannes and Jambres. God was, he was looking at Aaron and how he had fallen into idolatry. He was looking at the earth opening up and swallowing all these tens of thousands of people, and God, and Moses was looking at all this, and he could say, it's not good now. But when God made it, it was in the beginning. When God made it, it was good. And as I looked at that, I thought, wow. And as I began to read and understand a little better, that he was saying that how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity, that this unity, it was so good that he was actually referring back to the way it was in the beginning. And so that when we as the bride and the body of Christ can come together under the inerrant, infallible word of the hour, that God so is so pleased with that, that he would actually make that a part of his threefold purpose of God to establish himself in the flesh, to have the preeminence among the church, and then to restore the church back to when it was good. In that they would dwell in unity together and in fellowship and in harmony around the Word of God. And David saw that in a figure when he saw his people all come together under one great headship, under one leadership, under an established God-fearing king. And they looked to God and began to praise God. And David said, this is the way it's supposed to be. And when you and I can come together and begin to fellowship around the Word of God and begin to praise God in one mind, in one spirit, and in one soul, and the Holy Ghost is present among us, oh friend, God looks down and he said, that's what I intended from the beginning, and this is good. This is very good. Oh my. It's, when he says it's good, he says it's the way it's supposed to be. We want it that way, don't we? I want it the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to be sick. They weren't sick in Eden. We're not supposed to be sick now. They weren't poor in Eden. They didn't have anything, but they had everything. I don't preach prosperity. I don't preach gainest godliness. We don't say those things. But let me tell you, and Brother Bam said, you can't, just because you have a lot of material blessings, so that's not a sign of God's approval. But on the likewise, if you ain't got two nickels to rub together, that's not a sign of God's disapproval either. So those things are irrelevant. We don't use experiences as a measuring line any longer, but we do. But what we do is we see the presence of God, and when we see the blessings of God, we're not like the hog just eating apples off the ground and never, never take the consideration to look up and see where they come from. But when we do get that little blessing and we do go along and pick that up and pick this up and things just fall into our lap, you know, the first thing is we look up and say, oh God, thank you, Lord. Thank you. The Bible says in the last days that they'd be unthankful and unholy. Oh, but Paul tells him in the Thessalonian church, says, be therefore thankful, giving thanks always, pray without ceasing. Now we can start time, all right? In Arkansas, they say when you read your text, they're timing you. So that's why David Siler preaches so fast. See, I can't think of it that fast. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that run down, and upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. And so here we see this ointment, this, and we want to title this one, or give this little segment a heading, the oil of unity. That unity is by definition, the word unity there means properly, or as a unit, unitedly. Great cliche of the nation was, united we stand, divided we fall. And so we want to be a united states, but they'll never be united ever again. And they'll always be divided. They'll be divided on every line. They'll be divided on race lines, gender line, sexual preference line, social line, political line. They're going to be divided from now on. There's never going to be another United States. And they brought that upon themselves in 56 when they rejected the message of the hour. When Brother Ben said they rejected the Pentecostal move of God, and God now has, they've rejected the message, and now it's nothing but judgment is left. But the bride, on the other hand, that she doesn't stand together united as the United Pentecostals, because even they don't even live up to their name, because they're not united. They should call them the Divided Pentecostals, because they're divided on every line. They've got, if you just get among them just for 1 minute, you'll find, this one believes in the remission by immersion, and the other one, they'll believe that they can, have jewelry, and this one says that they can't, and I'm talking about the Pentecostals. And so then we get into the message realms where we think, well, we've got it. And then we find that, there's so much division among us. And David, when he come into the throne, he looked out and he said, what have you got me into, Lord? He said, here I am. I'm in Hebron. I've got two tribes that are going to stand with me, 10 tribes that are against me. What do we got here? I even got, all this division in my own family. What are we going to do? And then finally, but then when it all finally come to a showdown, when God had, somehow or another, by whatever supernatural way that he was able to bring the entire nation together, then David could rejoice and say, oh, this is like precious ointment. And he could say, this is what I was born for. This is what I'm here for, is to be the leader of God's people. And I was reading a book one time. It was called The Three Kings, and maybe probably read it. But at the back of that book, it was like the author just kind of did a dramatization of an interview of one of the local historians there. It was during the time of David, and he was actually interviewing one of the very last of David's mighty men.
And if you remember in the book, if you've ever read the book, you'll remember there he asked him what it was like to serve under that king. What it was like to be one of the mighty men and to be, you know, one of the, and numbered with those ones that were written in the scripture and so forth. And the man just looked at him and said, oh, he said, we weren't a bunch of mighty men. He said, we were a bunch of outlaws. Oh my, he said, we were a bunch of outlaws and we were led around by a guy that cried a lot. Oh my, but he was a type of Christ, and the Bible says that this Christ would come, that he'd be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And, you know, I think that that's, if that would be the title that was laid upon the King of Suffering and upon the King of Pain, then what would it be to his bride? What would his wife be? And many times we have to also label ourselves as a church that cried a lot. You know, we're just a people. A lot of times, you know, just imagine if you could, if you could collect all your tears, you'd say, well, how many would I have? But, you know, the Bible says over in Malachi that God had collected all of our tears. And then he put them in a Bible, and he was going to recollect a time when there would be a people that talked about him a lot. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, friends, it's good to dwell together in unity. It's like a precious ointment. Oh, friends, when you can fellowship and share your mutual woes and your mutual pains together, and you can come together and hold one another by the hand. Oh, let me tell you, there's something that comes from the strength of fellowship. Amen. There's nothing like it in this world. Oh, we can have fellowship with the world and talk to our constituents out on the jobs, and we can talk to them, but they're just like there's no healing there. But you get together, you know that another person has been through the same things you're going through, and you can sit down together, and there's just like, it's like an ointment. We're glad for that. Unity. Alike. All at once. Together. It's good. It's pleasant. It's like precious ointment. Brother Bram says, how sweet it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious anointing oil that was on the beard of Aaron, run down all the way to the hems of his garment. He said, oil makes things run easy, soft. You know, when a man gets really anointed and ready for God, he's just flexible. You remember, I know some of you are so sanctified, you probably never saw this, but when I was a little boy, before I was a Christian, you gotta give disclaimers, Brother Terry. you gotta give these disclaimers. But I, when I was a little boy, this is when it's still black and white. It's been a while. We watched this movie called The Wizard of Oz. And she found old Scarecrow, you know, and he was all torn apart. And then the next one she found was a Tin Man. And he didn't really have too many problems. But except for he lost his oil can. And he was just stuck there, and he could barely talk, you know, and he couldn't move, and he was just, he was all bound up. And, you know, I thought of that when I read that quote. I said, hey, that song about the Tin Man. And he said, oil makes things run easy, soft. You know, when a man gets really anointed and ready for God, he's just flexible. And there was old Tin Man. He was all locked up. And you know, he couldn't smile. Couldn't blink his eyes. Like church people. Just stuck there. You wonder, did they just go into a coma? Or what happened? They're just like, their body is there. But their mind, their spirit has taken a vacation. They're gone somewhere else. They're not there. They're just waiting for the next hour and a half so they can go to Ryan's or something. And you wonder, why can't they respond? Doesn't it, you know, at least grin, do something. But oh my, I just thought of that tin man and how that the church of living God, that they become so oil deficient that they don't even know what to do with it if they had it. But they lost their oil can and now they're just robotic. They're not flexible. They can't move. They can't do anything for God. They can't do anything for their family. They can't do anything for themselves. They're just robotic. They're just stuck in a rut. They don't go one way and come back and one way and come back. Oh, friend, don't get that way. The prophet of God said you get all oiled up for God, you just become flexible. You just become flexible. Oh, we throw on a special service or something like that, and why, I can't do that. That's gonna involve my schedule. That's gonna get into my schedule. I've got something planned for that day. If you've got something planned that's more important for church, you've got real problems. There's nothing more important than coming into the house of God and hearing the unfailing body word of the Son of Man preach to your poor wretched soul. The most important thing in your life, friend. Well, I missed a service before and I didn't die. On the outside, you didn't. Oh my. Oh, I understand people gotta go on vacation, they gotta do these things. But when I go on a vacation, I go to a place where there's a church. And if I'm stuck out in the woods somewhere on a deer hunt or an elk hunt somewhere, I have church on Sunday morning. If I take my family fishing or camping or whatever, we have church. Amen. If we lay out a church, you know, for the weekend or whatever, we're out there, we're going to sit down. We're going to listen to a tape. We're going to read the Bible. We're going to make a few comments. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to invite Christ into our lives. Sunday morning in Honolulu and you're out on the beach and never even think about God. Something wrong somewhere. I think the brother said this morning, God doesn't take a vacation. He doesn't take no days off. If he won't, why should we? But look at this oil. Brother Brown makes a statement. I just want to move right into this. He said, let's take for instance now of transportation. You'll see this. You remember this analogy. Brother Brown used it many, many times. He said, one day there was an old horse and buggy. And then we got the automobile. So that's still horsepower, but more of it in the automobile. It was an improvement of horsepower, certainly. When we got the automobile, it was an advantage over the horse and buggy. And then we rode the horse and the buggy and then we took the automobile, and after the automobile, the Wright brothers come along, made an airplane. Still horsepower, but it's an improvement. You see a pattern. One accompanies the other, one happening accompanies the other, happening all the time. Now, as things, he says, and, you know, sometimes Brother Brown will make a statement. He'll say, watch. He'll say, notice. Or he'll say, don't fail to get this. All right. And so this is one of them places. Everybody ought to have their ears all perked up. Y'all be ready to hear what he's going to say. He says, now don't fail to get this. Open up your ears, your heart, and everything now, and listen close. Have I got your attention? When anything happens on the earth, it is a warning to us that something is fixing to happen from heaven. What man does on the earth by his achievement is something that God's fixing to do by his achievement to his church. So now then, when we saw the advancement from the horse and buggy to the automobile to the airplane, and we see that, and then the prophet of God, he types that out throughout the church ages. Now, he goes on to say, he says, now we look, and then when we come from the horse and buggy, automobile, airplane, the church, God has been able in the spiritual line to achieve from justification for Luther, sanctification through Wesley, to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, see, it's a type shadow achievement what God has been able to do to date. That was 1962. So up to date, God had by type shadow achievement had brought the church all the way from the time of the horse and buggy and all the way now within just a short, less than 100 years of that time, that they had come to now a place where they were actually flying off the ground. They were flying. But remember, this is a message called Countdown, 1962. Brother Brown wasn't stopping there. He was just showing that this is what it has been. His entire theme of his services was Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever. And so the whole concept was, all right, if you can follow me to here, now go ahead and follow me all the way out. And so we've got so many times that people are they're able to cabbage down on justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But at no time in the prophet's ministry after 1959 did Brother Abraham ever stop there. He never just left it alone at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, the Pentecostals would have had the full revealed word of the hour. But they didn't. They were just a shuck to bring the people, amen, to a birth. And that was fine, and that's good, and we've got to come to that. But friends, there's an advancement. The natural sciences, can you imagine if we just stopped at a biplane? The church did not stop at a biplane. They went on, they picked up, they went into a Boeing 777, and now they got the Airbus, and now they've got the new one, the F-25, and they've got all these things, and they had all these aircraft that they advanced to the Blackbird, all these different things. They've even scuttled the Blackbird. Now they don't use it no more. And so now what they've got something better, something more powerful, something more stealth, something, all these different things. They just kept advancing. But the Bible said it was a better. It was an achievement. It was an advancement. Type shadow achievement. What God has been able to do. But modern happenings is a forerunner of spiritual happenings. Now remember, modern happenings are forerunners of spiritual happenings. The natural as spiritual, exactly, each happening accompanying the other, only improved over the other. Each thing that happens in the natural, the next thing happens is an improvement. And so something happened when the church had recognized the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. They accepted that as an achievement or an advancement over what the Wesleyans had. But then the nominal world cabbaged on that. And they just stopped right there, but there was a messenger on the scene, and Brother Bam called him. He said they were they were scientists, they were in the natural world. He said, but these were little, know-it-nothing scientists that didn't know their ABCs. He said, and what they got by education, these scientists of God, they got by revelation. And so it was a tight shadow achievement that was moving on. Now then, if you look in Psalms 92 and verse 8, it says, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn, and I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. So now, as we begin to look at this type shadow achievement under the inspiration of what we read in Psalms 133 about a unity, about a united, collected body. And unity is very important to us, and especially in the realms of what we're talking about here in oil, and we want to look at it from maybe just a little natural perspective for a little bit, because we can all relate to that. And so here was this advancement, but do you realize that in the days of horse and buggy that they had to use lubricant for their old buggy? Oh, absolutely. They had what it was called, we call it lithium grease now, but what it was back then. It was just a lye soap and a little bit of bacon grease. And they'd take that and mash it up, and they'd turn it into a paste, and it was called soap grease. And they would take that soap grease, and they would take the hub off of their old ox cart or whatever it was, and they'd pack it around the spindle and on the axle there, and they'd pack it full of this old grease. Why? So that when it was, the axle would be turning on the wheel, they didn't have bearings, they didn't have anything like that, but they were just kind of wood on wood, and it would just roll around like that. So they had to put something in there to lubricate that old bearing, or that old shiv there, so that it would just turn on there, or otherwise, after just a little while, it would wear the spindle, or the axle shaft, it would wear the end off of it, and it'd break, and it'd fall, and there'd be there, they'd be out of luck. You see, they'd be stranded on the side of the road, and it wasn't like you could call Avis or AAA or something like that to come and bail you out. You see, you know, they had to go cut a tree down and stand there and hew them out another axle. Could have took them days. You see, it was a real problem. So they preventive maintenance back then was maybe just a little bit more important than what it is now. But like they always say, an ounce of maintenance is, or an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure, I think. And so it's good. They had to have this old soap grease to, because why, it was just real slow speeds and not a whole lot of weight, you know, but they just had to keep something to keep the old wagon going and just to get them from point A to point B. And so that's what they had. But when they moved from that, when the advancement of the technology moved into the automobile realm, well, then things began to change. They couldn't use that old soap grease. They couldn't use it in the modern, because they developed a bearing. They developed all these different things. The tolerances actually got less. It wasn't like you could, you know, just put an old rope packing in there and pack it in there with a, you know, a block of wood. But now, you know, it was nuts and bolts and threads and all these kind of things. And the tolerances became a lot more, technical. And so they had those things. And then it advanced, you know, and up through the time of the Model T, and the car just kept advancing and advancing to what we have today. And so today what we have, that you, most of you came here in, is miles and miles beyond the old Model T. And, but a lot of times what we find is that here the prophet was telling us that there was an advancement. There was an advancement. Something was happening that we saw back here, that once the automobile has advanced to where it is today, and now we've got backup cameras, we've got built-in DVD players, we've got Bose acoustic surround sound, we've got cruise control, we've got all these things, you know, we've got OnStar navigation, we've got touch control screen, GPS, we've got climate control, warmer seats, heated steering wheels, we've got everything on these new modern fangled cars that we got. And that's just some of the cheap ones. That's right. I mean, you know, so you get on up into your more expensive lines, and then they go even more advanced and more. I believe I was in the automotive industry back in the early 80s. And I think it was when Chrysler had their big deal there with Lee Iacocca, and they moved over and they picked up a new line of cars. It was called a Cab Forward. It was the Intrepid line. And there was the Intrepid, the Talon, I forget what all there was. That's when I was in the Chrysler industry. And I was working for Chrysler at that time. And so I had to go to school, because before then, you know, all I knew was points and you know, feeler gauges and tweaking them with a screwdriver. And now everything went computer on me. And so they was going to send me to school. I was going to have to go to school to the equivalent of like an x-ray technician, and had to buy my own tools. I'm like, I'm getting out of this. I'll go frame houses. And so, but when I left, I went to one of the classes, and I thought it was striking when they told me that it was, this is like middle, maybe like 1990, somewhere along in there. And they told me, they said that this car, this new, I forget which one it was, Intrepid or one of those, he said, this car has as much onboard technology as the first Apollo spacecraft. I thought, amazing. We're driving around in more technology than they had when they went to the moon. And if that be the case then, what is the case now? That here we are, we have, you know, most of our cars, they have suspension controlled computers, they have ignition computers, they have interior climate control computers, everything on them is computerized, voice activated stuff. You know, it's just amazing. They're connected to the stars with GPS and all these other kind of things. And that was never heard of in the day gone by. But now where have we advanced to today that we have such an advance? But where, if that's what, remember, he said it's a warning. Listen. Listen, it's a warning that if our car can now communicate to the stars, if there's an attachment to the stars in your, in the automobile, then where are we as the common person today? Oh, there ought to be an attachment. There ought to be a 24/7 connection. Oh, call him up. Call him up. Amen. Tell him what you want. Amen. You don't need an old landline anymore. Amen. Oh, all you got to do, amen, is reach out and touch that old gospel button. Amen. And say, oh, God, I'm in trouble. Amen. I've had impact. Amen. My airbags have deployed. Oh my, we run headlong into the devil. We've got trouble in the home. We've got trouble in the bedroom. We've got trouble, amen, at the job place. What do you do? Just touch that old OnStar and say, God, I need some help. Amen. Send your angels, amen, to come and, oh my. It's an advancement. And so did the oil advance. There was a day when you were driving your old Model T Ford, you could, you know, you could just get some old nasty old crude oil or whatever, dump it in the crankcase, use some just old cheap grease, you know, and pack it in the bearings and some old, you know, 90 weight gear lube and dump it in the rear end. You just keep it going, you know, just a drive and drive and drive. And, you know, but you didn't get too fast. And Brother Bam talked about, you know, 45 miles an hour, you know, and or 30 miles an hour, well, one way then another and so on. But then now we drive, you can't do that in the car that you drive today. You can't do that. You know, most of us can't even change our own oil. And I'm what I would call a qualified mechanic. I don't change my oil. Why should I? First of all, I don't know where the oil filter is in that thing. And I don't know how to get there. They just have everything is so, unuser friendly. You've got to take it to the dealership just to get, you've got to get to the dealership, let them do it. And that's well and good. But it speaks of something that's taking place that there's, that the oils that they put in there, they have to be refined down to the micron. The sensors and the things that are in your car today, that there's sensors in there that pick up and they can, I got a little gauge on my car that tells me when my oil is actually, used up to a certain point, and at a certain point a little light will come on and say, it's time for you to change your oil. And because it's got a sensor in there that can detect how much sulfur, how much acid, how much moisture has accumulated over a period of time in my crankcase. And so now it begins to tell me, hey, you've got a, oh, Brother Bam talked about a flashing red light. He talked about an alarm system that would go off when we find ourselves lacking in the things of God. Oh, when this old oil gets depleted, there ought to be a flashing red light that comes on and says, hey, I've got to have a service. I've got to have a church service. Amen. I've got to have a Wednesday. I've got to have a Saturday. I've got to have a Sunday. Oh, it just comes on infrequently. Sometimes my little light will come on and it'll take me a couple of days to get to the service station. You know, on about Thursday afternoon, my light comes on. Every Thursday afternoon, my light comes on. Say, man, I just have to push her on into Sunday. Or push her, it comes on a Monday. I got to push her on into Wednesday. What is it? Wait, there's always that alarm that's there that says, I've got to do something. Hey, I've got to have a service. I've got to have an update. I've got to have my computer reset. I've got to come back in line with the word with it so that I'm operating the way that it should be back when God said it was good. Amen. Wasn't so from the beginning. You know, the very word mercy, little injection here, because I'm talking about these things, the word mercy is different than the word grace. grace is unmerited favor. But he said, mercy is new every day. And mercy is actually a derivative of maintenance. We need mercy every day. We need maintenance. Oh, if you just neglected your life, if you neglected your car as the way that you neglect your lives, you'd be afoot most of the time. That's right. Oh, but mercy rewrote my life. Mercy is something that we can apply every day of our lives. Oh, I just need to go out. I need to make sure. I need to check the tires. I need to check the oil. I need to make sure. I need to clean out all the trash and everything. If you're a contractor, you know what I'm talking about. It's embarrassing getting out of your car at Lowe's, you know. Get out of your work truck and, you know, 5 or 6 pop cans fall out on the ground, you know. Paper blows out all over the place and work receipts and all that stuff. And you gotta keep up on that stuff. You know, your pastor wants to take a ride with you someday and you're just red faced. You go, oh God. What is it? That's the same thing that happens to people's house, to their life. They still feel that way. If their life is out of maintenance, then you get in the presence of some believer, and then you immediately you're having to clean up the way you talk, you're having to clean up the way you act, you have to clean up what station your radio's on, you're all this panic all this time, you're having to go clean up your computers, and all of a sudden you're just panic all the time. Why? Because you haven't been maintenancing. They've been taking care of business the way you should. And now your oil's all trashed out. And you've got all kinds of gunk. And you got a misfire and a backfire in your life. Oh, it's time for amen, that we take a little more condition. A little more attention to detail in our life. Why? Because the tolerances are getting tighter and tighter and tighter. Brother Evan said this pyramid keeps getting closer and closer and closer till it gets to a needle point at the top. And if there would be that much attention to detail in the automotive realm, and then you move over into the aircraft realm, amen, you can't run automotive grade fuels, automotive grade engine oil, gear lubes. You can't put that in an aircraft. And you can go buy it right off the shelf and they won't put it in their aircraft. Why? Because at 30,000 feet, amen, it ain't like getting a flat tire. You see what I mean? And that's just in the Pentecostal realms. That's just in the baby realms. We're talking about flying at 30,000 feet in the baby realms. That's just the new birth. Oh, friends, if the tolerances were so tight there, I forget what they, I'm not an aircraft mechanic, but I know that like you would have a filter that would filter in the automotive realm that would filter to the micron, to like maybe 5 micron filter. When you would move over into the aviation, then that filter has to be triple and quadruple filtered. Oh my. Why did we get a message at this time when we were moving out of the astronaut age or out of the aircraft age into an astronaut age? That we would have a message come on the scene that would say, you need a thinking man's filter. You might get away with an unfiltered oil in your car. And you probably won't die. It may just wreck out there on the side of the road and, you know, blow up or whatever. And you'll be all right. You'll get out and thumb a ride back into town or call a tow truck or whatever. An aircraft, you may be able to float it to the ground somehow and have a safe landing because, a bird go through the motor or something like that, you know, whatever. But when you're coming in a re-entry at 24 times the speed of sound, and that thing is literally a blaze like a comet coming in out of into an atmosphere. Friends, you don't need no failure then. Oh, can you imagine if the transition from the airplane age to the astronaut age at the tolerances and the specifics? Oh, do you realize that them astronauts were scattered all over Texas because of one little seal? One little seal, the tolerances on one little seal. On any other application, it would have been fine. They would have probably never caught it. But at those speeds, at that altitude, amen, at that pressure, at that kind of temperature, friend, that little seal meant everything. And let me tell you, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption, friend. Amen. What is redemption? It's when we leave this world and move into another world, and we're changing from one atmosphere to another atmosphere. Into an astronaut age. And that's the message of the hour that you believe in tonight. Amen. Is going to help you. Amen. Move from the earth's atmosphere and from the gravitational pull of this world. And we're going to transition into a dimension faster than light. And now the tolerances have become more and more tightened. Amen. They're more and more specific. Oh, they can't even measure in the times of an aircraft. You can measure the tolerances with a feeler gauge and get by with it. You could use specific, digital readout dial indicators that would tell the tolerance and the thrust and the side to side, movement of bearings and things with just visual. In the astronaut age, they use x-ray. They use photography. That is actually three-dimensional holographic photography to check the tolerances. That they put them inside of x-ray machines. They check everything in there with lasers to check the tolerances. You know what a laser stands for? Light, amplification, stimulation, or radiation. Laser. You realize that we got a laser in our day? It's that light amplification of the stimulation of revelation. Amen. Oh, it's a laser. And what does that laser do? It's a centralized focused beam of light that has been amplified by radiation, and it fires that light, and there is no wave. It's a straight line. All light comes in light waves, but a laser is in a straight line. Amen. Our Bible says that God is the Father of lights, and in Him is no shadow of turning. Oh, let me tell you, friend, there ain't no light wave in this thing. It's a straight light. Our tolerances are checked by a laser. You know when the laser was developed? The laser was developed, and we're talking about type shadow achievements here. The laser was developed. There was a maser before that. Was a microwave amplification. But now it was going to be a light amplification. In a day of light. Brother Branham was preaching the church ages and showing those lights coming. He come down to the seventh. He said it was blacked out. Completely blacked out. No light on it. Hold that thought. Then we come down. Fall of 1962. Late in the year. 1962. A man comes across. He said, hey, I've got an idea. He's a little scientist down in Columbia, South Carolina. And he got an idea and he tried it early in the spring, 1963, just before the seals break. He develops what he calls a laser. And then the laser is developed the same year, at the same time in the year, as the seals begin to break. What was it? God was opening up, amen, a new realm, he was showing a type shadow achievement that we're moving out of that old light, amen, under the candlestick, but now we're moving in to the bright light. Hallelujah. And only the bride will be able to go there. Only the bride said, I'll meet you in there. It'll be a third pull. Oh, hallelujah. What was it? The opening of the seals. The revealing of the seven thunder mystery. Oh, what was it? It was going to be as we said last night, it was going to be an oil of election. It was going to be a time that now we're moving into another realm, friends. Oh, my. Not we are, we have been. It's just time for the church to focus and to realize where we are. David said that I shall be anointed with fresh oil. What is it? We're no longer under aviation fuels anymore. They left that when they went into the outer space. They can't use JP5 in an astronaut ship. I can't go in the shuttle with old diesel fuel. Oh, but it was good refined diesel fuel. I don't care how refined it is. It ain't going to work. And neither, Brother Bannon said, and neither will Pentecost message work in this day. Why? Because it's an advancement. It's an achievement. It's a moving forward. It's a bettering. A lot of brothers will go to seed on that. Maybe I caught a thought there. I ain't saying I did, but it's not that we don't have Pentecostal message. If we're true Pentecost, Brother Bannon said, he said Luther in his day, if he would have stayed with the truth, he would have been a Pentecostal. And so is the Pentecostal. If they would have stayed with the truth, they'd be sitting here today. So the message then, it advances, but the results are the same. You get the same results. Brother, so you get the same emotion, the same supernatural, the same manifestations. All these things are the same. Same divine healing. All these things happen under this advancement. But just when we get to this advancement, something really special is going to happen. It's going to come a change. It's going to be a transferring from this dimension, into the next one. Amen. He said it's not a million miles away. He said it's not out past the Milky Way. He said it's just above our heads. The man says the church will be moving without friction. Without friction. You think about that today. That everything that we are affected in every aspect of our life by friction. You couldn't even sit in your seat without friction. That's right. Friction. Everything. And so the only way to reduce friction is to lubricate it some way or another. And so we're still in the mechanical realm. And so those old wheels and bearings and things in your car and your aircraft and even in the space shuttle, if there's something moving or whatever, it has to be lubricated. It has to have something there. Because there's a physical property that all matter has in one form or another, it's called asperity. Now asperity, what an asperity is, by definition, is a harshness or a roughness of surface. There's some other things here, but I just want to get to that. Or an unevenness. Now then, maybe you would say, well, a piece of glass or something, you know, there, maybe that would be probably the smoothest thing that I could think of. And my son was explaining to me how that they make glass on metal and it's liquid on liquid and there's a cooling process there that it literally can be the smoothest surface that we know of that man can produce. Is certain glasses, certain plate glass, and there's very little asperity. But even then, at a microscopic level, if you were to take those glasses and begin to rub them together, after a while, there would be a microscopic dust, and then after a little while, and then before long, you'd start getting a scratch surface, and then before long, then you would get these, what we call asperities, would become magnified, and then they would create more of a problem. Now, for you to best understand an asperity, if you want to just put your hands together just like this and push real hard and start rubbing real fast. Most of you don't want to know. Some of you do. But you start rubbing like this and go faster and faster and faster. And what happens? It starts getting hot. And if you keep doing that, you'll stay awake to the rest of this service. But what happens there is there's asperities on the palms of your hand. And then what happens is it creates friction. And friction creates heat. And then heat will eventually cause what they call galling. Or pieces of material will begin to come off. And if you were to rub your hands like that, and eventually there would be pieces of skin. And then you get down to where it starts hurting real bad, see? And so that's what it causes. That's what happens when that's happening. So anytime that there's these kind of things are in your car, all over your motor and your wheel bearings and your transmission. All these things have parts that have to run together. But in order to prevent them from galling and going into this process of friction, then they have to have a lubricant. And so Brother Brown tells us that the church would be moving without friction. Can you imagine that if you could create an atmosphere where there was no friction, that if you could create a wheel or a motor or any kind of an apparatus, that you could give it a spin and it would spin forever from then on and without any friction, you would have what they call perpetual motion. If you had perpetual motion, you just now become the most wealthy, the most powerful human being on the planet. Because you could advance that technology into electrical generation plants. You could do anything with it. The fossil fuel industry would go bankrupt, and you would have a monopoly on all power. An all power monopoly is beyond our comprehension. But yet the prophet of God said that the church would be moving without friction. Want to give you a couple of examples. He said, when the love of God is brought back amongst the people, then you're going to see the church of God all fellowshipping. How? Under the unity, the oil of unity. Oh, let me tell you, this unity oil is some powerful stuff, because Brother M tells us, he said, you would be all fellowshipping with one another without any friction at all. Oh, could you imagine that there would be a fellowship where there was no friction? Now then, there is probably no man and no woman that get along in the world as well as me and my wife. Well, she probably wouldn't agree with that. But we get along real good. After as many years we've been together, we don't have too many choices. But we really love one another. Well, I really, really love her a lot. And absence makes the heart grow fonder. And we'll start crying and I have to quit here in a minute. But regardless, because I'm a Moses and she's a Zephra, and just every now and then we get a little friction. Now then, regardless of how close you are to your church, to your pastor, to your relatives, to your friends, your mom, your dad, you're two people, you're two separate entities, and regardless of how close you are together, after a period of time, there's going to be a little rub there. And the only way that you're going to be able to prevent that rub is you've got to put a buffer between you and the other surface, and that'll reduce the friction. Oh my, think about it. So now then, and that's the way it is in our relationship. If we come to church, we see one another, but if you ever spend a little bit too much time or a little bit more time than you're used to with someone else, after a little while, there's going to be a little disagreement. There's going to be a little head nod. There's going to be a little cross look. There's going to be a little head scratch. There's going to be something. You're going to say, I don't know about that. But after a while, if that doesn't get some oil in there, if that doesn't get some fellowship anointing in there, if that doesn't get some unity oil, if that don't get some oil of gladness in there, some oil of joy, amen, something's going to happen. You're going to have a meltdown. And before long, you're going to be fussing and fighting and biting and consuming one another. Oh, you see how important it is? You got to have it every day. Every relationship has got to have it. They say that it actually creates a buffer. Because of the fluids, they can only be compressed to a certain place. And then you get what they call hydraulic lock. And so when those two surfaces come together, they never really touch. Even though they're very, very, very close. Measure it with a laser, if you will. But they never really, really touch, because there's something between them. It's that Holy Ghost. It's that oil of the lubricant. Amen. It stays in there. It keeps you, what Brother Ben said, it keeps you flexible. Then you can kind of go her way sometime, brother. And she can come fishing with you, brother. I have been reading the message for years. I never come across this one quote. At least I didn't see it. But I seen a quote the other day where Brother Ben said that, said, wife ought to go fishing with her husband. I thought that's a pretty good deal. But I took my wife fishing one time and made her row the canoe. She said she would never go again. So I got her a 200-horse rowboat and she said, come on, honey. Yeah, we'll go on this. And so she went one time. I bought her a new fishing pole. She won't use it. The church should be moving without friction, without asperities. Oh, think about it. Without hurt, without harm, without doubts, without scruples, without friction. He said it twice. Without friction. Whoa, it would be moving in the power of the Word of God, manifesting every divine blessing that God promised to it, if it would just do that. When he said, if it would just do that, I had to go back and I had to read like three paragraphs before to find out what he was saying. And I just want to bring you back to that. And Brother Bram is actually, when he says, if it would just do that, he had to go back and read, and I want to go retrospectively. He says, now the word of God in the mouth of a prophet, the word of God is creating, but it's got to come from the right resource. I'm just going to move down through this. He said, God's own way of taking sin, taking away the stain so far that it's put in the sea of God's forgetfulness. He said, when a man confesses his sins, gets right with God, and God drops the sin of his confession into the blood of his own blood, then God then forgives that sin and replaces in that man the original spirit that should have been there. So now what is he going to do? He's going to put the spirit in there, not just a new spirit. Brother Evan said, you get that new spirit, that's still your spirit. He said, but then he will put his spirit in there. And when he puts his spirit, that's the oil of God. That's the oil of the dove, you see. That oil that's in there, it's a perpetual oil that's all inside of him. He said, when he does that, then the church will be moving without friction. Then he puts in that man the original spirit back as it was in the beginning when God said, it is good. When he saw that it was good, he said, that's the way that I'm going to bring them back to this. When Adam left the garden and the sheepskin slapping against his leg, tears running down upon the head of his wife, and what was she doing? They were walking out, their heads down. What was it? Hey, the Brother Bram said, then he come down there, that little vapor, amen, wrote it out, L-O-V-E. He said, I'll bring you back here. Back to the way that it should have been. But you're going to have to go experience a life of friction. You chose a human spirit, Adam. And so now I'm going to let you see what that human spirit will do to you. And so he went down. And so Adam's race has been having to deal with this old asperity spirit. This old asperity spirit that, I want to give you some of these other definitions of asperity. It's a harshness, a sharpness of tone, temper, or manner, severity. The cause, hardship, difficulty, rigor, like polar opposites of weather, roughness of surface, unevenness. That's what your spirit, that's your human spirit that you're born with. You're born with an old temper. You're born with a roughness. You're born with a harshness. You're born with it. You can't help it, with an unevenness, with a coarseness that's about you. It's in you by birth, by hardwired into you by nature, by a sex birth. That's how you come into the world. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. When you're born again, then he puts his spirit in there. And then the church, then when you do that, how do you do that? By confession. That a person, when he will confess his sins and drops his sins into the bleached blood of the Son of God, and then that bleaches and cleanses the sin away, and then he's got a house that he can put his spirit in, and then you no longer have that serpent laying there, but now that dove begins to fly in your life. Oh, that little dove of God. Said, but if you're under the blood, the power of of God by His Word remains the same. It's got to be the same. If He could just do that by the blood of sheep and goats, of animals, but what about the blood of Jesus Christ? He says, we must cope our lives and focus it to the Word of God. Amen. Brother Bram uses words sometimes that, you know, Cope, a lot of people just say, well, that means agree with. Cope is more than that. Cope is if you're an old carpenter, you'll understand they don't do it much anymore, but we still cope every now and then. And it's when you get, like, you get two pieces of ornate molding that have to come together. You just can't hack them with an old saw and stuff them together, and it'll just look terrible. But what you've got to do is you've got to make the shape of one fit the shape of the other. Oh my, what do we got? We've got a Christ shape here, and now that we're just trying to hack our old life as any old kind of way and make it stick to that. It won't fit. Brother Evan said it's got to mesh back together like the two were one, like the laundry ticket. It's got to come back to prove that this is the token that says that we were once together. And so Brother Evan said with our second-handed robe, he said we don't alter the robe to fit us. We have to alter us to fit the robe. Oh my. And so Brother Evan now is telling us if we would just cope our lives and focus it to the Word of God. So now there's got to be a coping. There's got to be a cutting of our life. There's some things in our lives that just don't fit the Word. And so now we've got to get that sharp two-edged sword of the Word and have it start to coping out all those big knots and bumps and all the asperity and all the deflection and all the roughness and the coarseness. And we got to sand that thing out and polish it out until the two fit like one. Just like the picture of that camera. You know, Brother Man talked about this type shadow achievement. And remember, we was telling you about the laser. I'll just back up just for a second. Brother Man says, just like the camera of the, let me get to this. He said, just like that we would a picture camera to try to get the right focus before we would snap it. He says, and then we got the real true picture. That's what we want to do, to focus our lives into Jesus Christ, that Christ and you become the same person. You are adopted to God by the blood of the righteousness, by the righteous Jesus Christ. Amen. And so if we go back and we find that photography also advanced just like the automobile, just quickly. That back in the time of the horse and buggy, during the times just right after the Civil War, they came out with a way of transferring a physical image onto a plate. And then that plate then, they were able to take that and produce from that plate one singular photograph. They called them old tins. They called them tins back in the day. And it was a process, and it was expensive. Just to get one picture would take weeks. Just to get the one single picture. And then that technology advanced so that by the time we turned the century, and here were the time of the First World War, when the Wright brothers are taking off, and now they have a new, they call it a light sensitive emulsification. That's a lot of words, but what it is, it's a film that was sensitive to light. And so that when the light was shined on it in a certain way, that it would actually make what Brother Bram called a negative. And then that negative then could be developed and produced into a reproduction of whatever the light was that struck it before. So it becomes a reflector of light. Well, as time began to advance, by the time we get down from the time of the horse and buggy, and then it advanced to the times of the film negative, and then by the time we get down to the automobile, and then the aircraft age, things begin to advance even further, and then so that now in the astronaut age, that there's no longer a wait. The photography is taken instantaneously, digitally. So that now it's just a process of you take your phone, you pick it out, you hit the button, you send it around the world. Just like that. There's no wait on it. It's digitally reproduced. Well, they came up with something back shortly after the laser was developed, to where they could take this laser now and they could use it in photography. And this was in the astronaut age of advancement, you see. So it advanced into this photography time so that now when they take this picture with this laser, then it comes back. But when they develop it on a light sensitive and multiplication, then it actually can come up so that it's three dimensional. All the old pictures just have two dimensions, width and height. But now it's gone to a new dimension, another realm. Now it's deeper. Oh, friend, if we could see. And you know what they call that? They call that a hologram. H-O-L-O-G-R-A-M. Hologram. And I thought, wow. Well, what does that mean? And so I went and I looked, and just by definition, hologram. Now watch, we were talking about the advancement of photography. And so now that here we get at the end, and now that we've advanced to a certain place, and what is it called? But the message of the hour has advanced to the message of what it is now. And I thought it striking that when they would develop a hologram, that the hologram is H-O-L-O, which means one, means whole, like complete. And gram means message. So now what they've got in the astronaut age, now in the photography realm, we're just not an old 10 no more. We're not some old Kodak Instamatic where you got to stand there and wait and wait and wait and wait until that thing. And then it's, you know, then it's flimsy and cheesy old piece of paper anymore. But no, now that it's not just a digital image that you can look at on your phone anymore. But now the message is gone just beyond just one dimensional, beyond two dimensional, beyond three dimensional. Oh, now where we are, we're in a seven dimensional message called the hologram, the whole message. Amen. Now you can see. And they said that what they used that hologram for was to detect flaws. To detect counterfeit. Oh, I thought, wow, if there's anything ever in the world, this message will pick out a hypocrite in a minute. Amen. Oh, let this message begin to shine on your own life and you'll start seeing all your flaws, all your failures, all your weaknesses. Oh, but think about it, friend. There's an oil of gladness that'll come back. You can use it. Amen. An old medical cure. Begin to rub it in. Oh, like that dove of God. Well, that thing, he said, that dove, he said, I'd like to talk about here just for a moment in closing. He says, this dove is one of the most cleanest birds there is that flies in the heavens. There's nothing as clean as he is. He doesn't have to watch about it. His body puts out an oil that goes to his feather and constantly keeps him clean. Oh, what a symbol that the believer has got an oil of the Spirit that lives in him. Keeps his feathers clean. The dust and things doesn't bother a dove. His little body is oily. It just keeps the dust and things away. It just constantly flows. And as he flies, the dust just flies off of him. Hallelujah. Oh, that's why we don't hop. That's why we don't hop around. Oh, friend, that's why we don't walk around like chickens. No, that ain't what we do. We don't walk like ducks. With their pants hanging off. Huh? We don't strut like prostitutes on our high heel shoes. And that's why we don't do it. Why? Because the oil of God on the inside just keeps all that stuff off of us. Amen. Oh my, what is it going to do? It keeps us clean all the time. Just perpetually. Why? Because we're flying. We're not earthbound creatures anymore. We're astronauts. Sometimes the old things were good, though. There was old things that were good. They worked good. There was one thing, it's called an oil bath filter. Some of you folks might know what I'm talking about. But the air, before it could get into the engine, it had to go across that oil. And that oil would collect all the dirt. And then you just move it out and fresh oil. Put fresh oil, you got a fresh filter. Oh, that's what it is today. Amen. We come in on in service time and we come in to get a service. Amen. We get to come in and we sit down and we get a service. We get an oil filter and lube. Amen. Oh, we get, what do we got now that we can just start flowing? We can get limbered up. Praise God. We got in here. They checked us all out. They checked all the tie rod ends and all your U-joints and all your bearings and everything. Hey, repacked them up for you. And then you change the oil, you change the filter, and you send her out and she's ready for another 40 or 50,000 miles. Oh, but then we come into the church of the living God, and now we got some fresh oil, amen, in our knees. Amen. Oh, like Jewel said, and I got it down in my feet. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We get it all in our heart. We get a fresh oil bath filter. Amen. A new thinking man's filter. A whole new perspective on life. We get to look at it. And then we get it all up. And we get it in our hands. We get it in our feet, our eyes, our ears, our mouth. Everything is cleaned out by the Word of God. And we're ready for one more trial. Amen. We're ready for one more test. One more curve in life's road. And then I can lay down my heavy load when we get there. What is it? It's good for what ails you. It'll carry you through this life. Hallelujah. Oh, I need it. I need it every day. I need it every day of my life. I want to get maintenance every morning. Amen. And every night when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. Oh, I just love God. Amen. Oh, my. Let's just give you a rest. We're going to start over here in a minute. I just want to read this one little quote. He said, when you get faith in Jesus Christ working in a perpetual motion in your soul, something is going to take place. Sin and sickness will get away from you. Devils will scatter like roaches on a floor in the summertime when the light's turned on. Oh, let me tell you, friends, the light has been turned on. And when the light is turned on, amen, all of our weaknesses, all those sicknesses, they scatter like roaches on the floor. Amen. Think about it. Oh, they go to running. Why? Because light, amen, has come on the scene. Oh, my. You know that little chorus we sing? I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning until I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Amen. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Well, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. I am give me oil in my lamp and keep me burning. Oh, not till just, amen, not till the next revival. Oh, but till I make, amen, cross over into that other dimension. Amen. One time I was dealing a little oil product. They showed me all the different applications of this oil, this different kinds of oil had different applications. There was one application, they said it was fireproof. I thought, you know, that's what the Hebrew children had. They called it pyro shield. I said, man alive, I want some of that. Can you imagine Holy Ghost pyro shield? It was all over them. They could go right into the furnace of fire. You know what Brother Bram said when the Hebrew children got down inside that furnace of fire? He said that when the king looked down, he said, man, I thought we saw three bound in that burning flame of fire. He said, we did, O king. He said, why do I see four? And they're loose and walking all around. And the fourth man looks like the Son of God. You know what happened? God come down and smeared old pyro shield all over them. He said the only thing that burned was the fetters that had them bound. Oh, think about it, friends. That shield of God. Oh my, it's all over us. It's all over us, and it's keeping me alive. You might have changed songs here in a minute. Oh, and it was down on, he said, Brother Bell said, when they got down in that furnace of fire, they were walking around down there. You know what he said? He said they had hours of pleasure in there. Hours of pleasure in that burning, fiery furnace. Oh, they were walking down there, and Shadrach looked over and said, well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Well, it's keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, Jesus, it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Well, it's keeping me alive. Well, it's Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, Jesus, it's keeping me alive. Well, it's there in my soul, and it's keeping me alive. Well, it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. Well, it's there in my soul, and it's keeping me alive. Well, it's keeping me alive. Well, it's there in my feet, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. Well, it's keeping me alive. Well, it's down in my feet, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, Jesus, it's keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Oh, don't you love Him? Amen. Let's pray together and we'll worship and amen. You can sing and praise God and amen. You can rejoice together in that fellowship of unity. And, oh, you just create an atmosphere. And if you need prayer, we'll be glad to pray with you. If you need an oil change and you just realize you've been long overdue and you've just got all kinds of spiritual knocks in your motor and everything and sputtering and backfiring. Oh, you don't need me to pray for you. You just need to come to the great physician. Oh, let him come down and begin to clean you, and his mercies are new this morning. He'll take care of what ails you, friend. Amen. Lord Jesus, we bow our heads this morning. Lord, and we can say with a surety we're glad to be in the house of the Lord. Father, surely our hearts do burn within us as you talk to us along the way. Oh, we anticipate great things from you, Lord. And Father, our lives have become so muddled up with the things of the world. But Father, we confess now. We come as a confession to you, Lord. God, I've failed you, Lord. I've miserably missed the mark, oh God. But this morning I come to renew my grateful vow. I come to bow my head before my Maker and say, God, make it wise as it was in the beginning. When you looked and said it is good and it was precious in your sight, oh God. When your family walked together in harmony in the cool of the evening and had fellowship with their Maker. Oh God, let it be that way in every heart and every life this morning. May we be as it was in the beginning. Restore your church back to a condition as it was in the beginning when it was good, we pray. God, help us everyone, we ask, as we commit ourselves, our souls, our lives, and all that we are and ever shall be into thy hands, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Well, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Oh, give me oil.
right.